The Muskie 360 Podcast is brought to you by Yeti, built for the wild, Evinrude E-Tech Outboards, Joe Bucher Outdoors, the number one name in Big Fish products, and The Muskie Shop.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 Podcast. What are you doing, Tyler?
I just cooked some brats. I'm eating brats and sauerkraut with some cheese curd.
Well, I'll tell you what, and it's a question that's going to come up. We're doing user Q&A today. We're doing the podcast. I will tell you, folks, I'm sorry. We are a day late because me and Tyler can't read a calendar.
We don't even know what day it is.
What day is it?
Is it Tuesday? I don't know.
What month is it? That's the question. I know what month it is. It's the hottest month on planet Earth ever.
It's awful.
That's what month it is. Dude, it's hot as crap. I know up there you guys have like nuclear hot water temps.
Unfishable.
We got a bunch of questions about this at the app. I actually did an article this week, Tyler. I can't remember what I caught. Too hot to fish, right? And yep. If you didn't notice that sweet thumbnail with the guy catching the muskie out of lava, I'm not cool with like fishing above 80 degrees, right? That's just not me. I think it's a douche move. I think if you're out there fishing, you know, 80 degree water, pretty douchey. The thing is this, you know, a lot of people ask just that's the thing. You're going to get varying opinions. Hopefully here shortly, we're working on trying to get a scientist to come on the podcast, and we'll do a very non-jokey podcast and try to answer this question. So if you have, and what I'm setting you guys up for, if you have like musky biology questions, or if you have, you know, obviously the stuff about water temp or dissolved oxygen or any of that stuff, let us know. Shoot us a email over on the Ask a Pro thing, and we'll try to get as many of those in when we have like a scientist, you know, because this is
E equals MC squared.
E equals muskie. Very, very interesting findings. But, you know, just trying to get somebody that can, like, sort of answer a lot of these questions. Because what happens on the water is, you know, you're trying to figure this stuff out. I'm not very smart. I eat a lot of lead paint as a child is what happened. And so I don't know the answers to a lot of this stuff. And Tyler was dropped on his head repeatedly as a 9-year-old. His parents, not even as an infant. They just forcefully dropped you on your head repeatedly. Correct.
It got to a point where I just did it myself.
He just said, "Hey, this is my lot in life. I'm just going to jump off this staircase, you know, try to end it all." But you know, hopefully, if you guys have those questions, get them in. We'll sort through them and try to get as many questions answered. Whether it be water temperatures and whether it be, hey, what do they really do when they spawn? Try to get some of these definitive answers from science, because a lot of this stuff we're making it up on our own and trying to figure stuff out. But, you know, that overarching thing about water temp, where I'm at, where the guru's at, where Joe Bucher's at, not doing the 80 plus stuff. You know, I get sort of skittish. But if you look at the article I just wrote, I'm not trying to promote my article, but what I talk about is, you know, being measured about it, you know, and being smart about things. Because I worry more so, especially where I'm at down south, you know, I might have 76 degree water, but it's 98 outside, you know, and so I'm worried about, hey, let's get it in and out and be quick. Because my favorite thing is I always tell people, you're not Kim Kardashian. You know, dude, it's like trying to get the perfect muskie pose. Like, we've taken 70 photos. Hold on, the lighting's not just right. Just be quick about stuff. You
make
know,
make my tail look bigger.
Kick the tail out, Billy. You know, they're fooling with the fish. Hold on, your hat's not right. You know, the fish has been out for 45 minutes. Hold on, put the mustache on now. Put the mustache on the muskie. You know. You know, hold on, he'd look better in a sombrero. I met two old guys one time in Canada, and this is so gross. I was like talking to him, and it wasn't that hot of a year, but it, and this is just completely off. Oh, it's not off topic, but it's just like popped in my head. And these guys were like asking, you guys have any fish dye? I was like, no. You know, it's like, it's a hot year, but like we're talking like 74 degree temps in the coves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're like, no. We're like, no, we haven't had any problems. He's like, we lost two this week. And this, we're like disgusted when they say that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we're like completely grossed out. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. And now, mind you, this is years ago. And it was just like, he's like, yeah, we can't ever get them out of the net when we bring the net in the boat.
Oh,
I about died. I died, dude. I was like, what are you? I remember my dad just was like, I think he called one of them a dumb son of a bitch, to be honest with you. He was like, are you serious? Are you serious? Yeah, they're bringing, like, just hoisting the net into the boat. You know, don't do dumb stuff like that. But that cracked me up. Sorry to get off on that tangent. I just remember the pure disgust. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It was just flopping the whole net in there. Let's get him out in the water. So, but that article just talks about some of the stuff that I deal with, especially down south. Heat's an issue for me. And, you know, I'll be the first to tell you, like, you'll see, like, skim, like, that skim of the top of the water sometimes gets hot, but I'm always checking. I actually keep a thermometer on the boat. You've been on the boat with me, Tyler, which I use it for a bunch of things, but I have, like, a little portable, too. So I can see, like, okay, here's what my trolling motor says. Here's what the surface says. What's even in between or down deeper? You know, and like I said, I don't advocate fishing in those high temps at all, but just for safer handling, because my big thing is this. Is let's say we got that hotter water, you know, 77, 78 stuff. You know, I'm concerned with, like, where I'm even holding them when I go to release them. You know, like, me and you did that, Tyler, on our trip. Like, we're leaning over and jamming our arms down real far.
We got the fish, like, 2 feet under the surface trying to release it so it can, it can
survive.
Like
6'4". You had him like 9 feet under. You're just...
Yeah. I was actually... You were holding me by my ankles.
We literally... And that's how we bring them in, too. That's how we netted them. So they don't even come out. Tyler took a picture with one in scuba gear.
So yep.
We have a cage, like a shark cage. And once you get him, you pull him in the shark cage and you get under and take your picture. No, but... You know, just be smart about stuff, because that's the thing, is like, you can see the quicker release in cooler water. You can't argue that.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm excited to hear that from a scientist, but regardless what a biologist would say, my personal on the water experience has been, it's a slower release or a slower takeoff. And the big thing, like I said, I'm not pumping up that article, but just one thing, dude. Let's say you're sitting in BFE, Indiana, and you want to go out, and it's like 78 degrees. Do you really got to take a picture of another 32?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy. Like, me and you caught that one, Tyler, where, you know, and it's not knocking the size of the fish. We'd already caught a nice fish that day, and we were like, hey, man, you know, we don't need to pop a photo of him.
No, just in the water release.
Yeah, take the hooks out and... It's funny, just you see how quick they go. They're just like, boom, gone, you know. I think and what I was saying about those guys we ran into decades ago that were ding-dongs, my biggest thing that I worry about in hot temps is not, obviously I'm worried about water temperature, but even if it's like 75-degree water, if it's hotter than hell out there, I'm worried about what's going on in the boat and how long you're taking with him. That's a lot of stress on those fish as far as that. Or maybe,
yeah, the hot water just stresses them out, and like you said, you know, if the air's hot too, taking them out of the water in that hot air.
I hear. Well, it's tough when me and you fish together too, because we're clubbing them the entire time as well. You know, it's this, like, we call that the gauntlet, people. Me and Tyler stand with batons and just whacking at the water. The fish has to run the gauntlet before he gets in the net, you know, and some of them get hit, some of them don't, you know. It's just old school. Speaking of, not to get on a crazy tip, and no, we're not clubbing the fish, okay? It's a joke, but that popped in my head. I've got the old musky gaff. Ever tell you that?
No.
Oh God! A guy asked on the boat a while ago. We were talking about catch and release, and he was a new muskie angler. And you know, it's not to make light of this stuff, but it's just like we're in such a different world, because I have my grandfather's muskie gaff. Hedden used to make you know, Head and Lures used to make a muskie gaff. It's just like, wow. That was the humane thing to do opposed to shoot them. You know, it was like, it's so stupid. Oh, man, we've come a long way, because I remember hearing stories of, you know, if you caught a fish out of one hole, you know, on like one of these rivers in West Virginia, one of these creeks, they'd be like, yeah, we wouldn't fish that hole for a few years, you know, because he killed it. And it's just like, you got to take care of your fisheries, man. You got to take care of them. It's not worth going out there and killing a fish, because you're really, you know, above all else, we need to be conservationists and stewards of things.
Absolutely. You know? We want the fishery to last our lifetime and the next however many generations.
I don't have kids, and I'm never going to have kids, so I don't care. When I'm in my 60s, I'm keeping them all, Tyler. I'm going out in a blaze of glory, like, screw you people. I'm taking all the muskies with me. I'm teasing, guys. I know we make light of stuff here, but don't be a douchebag. Don't go out there in 80 degree water. Like, God, I hate this topic. I hate it. I know you hate it too, Tyler.
Oh, absolutely. It's just it sucks.
It's just part of it, man. Like, I don't think that's the way I feel about it. I'm going to shut up about this. What do you got on your mind, T-Dog?
I guess I got walleye fishing on my mind. That's all I got, son.
Got my mind on my walleye and my walleye on my mind. Isn't that
how walleye on my mind.
Walleye on my mind. First question is from Flanders. He says, can you give us some tips on night fishing? Depth, lure choices, speed, structure. Love the podcast, brothers. Flander, we love you. Tyler, what you got night fishing? What's sort of your go-to? What are you thinking right now, bro?
First, what you want to do is you pick your lake that you want to night fish. Yep. Learn it well during the day. And learn it well. Catch some fish off some spots. Mark those spots. Come back. Fish those spots exactly how you would fish it during the day.
Mm-hmm.
My recommendation at night is you can use big baits for a big profile, a lot of vibration, a lot of water displacement. So it's kind of like a big homing beacon saying, hey, I'm over here. Come eat me.
Eat me.
Eat me now.
Eat me now. You have learned well. We've talked about this before, but, you know, the Book Daddy, Joe Booker himself, spent a lot of night trips. You know, like, one of my favorite stories from Joe is talking about, you know, when the bait company was, when it was just he and his wife still running the bait company. Here he's raising a kid, right? They've got a company that's thriving, and they're sort of in that in-between state of, this is not mom and pop operation, this is becoming a serious business. And he's still trying to guide, because none of them were, like, enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, the bait company's not big enough for everything, and the guiding's... You know,
yeah, he was doing the TV show at the same time.
Starting the TV show. So, yeah, you're right. And so it's like everything in the world. So he ran almost all his trips at night in the summer just because he had no other time, which I don't know when the man slept. But
I don't think he did.
Yeah, I don't think he did. But that was the thing of, like, he really, like, dialed that in and sort of broke a lot of ground on that. But the success rate was huge for him, though.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always thought about it. We talk about, you know, a crappy musky day is high, bright sun, dead flat, calm, right? Because it's too bright. You know, it's too bright out. The fish can't see. You've heard that. I've heard that. Everybody's heard that.
Yeah.
Well, at night, guess what? We're not worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I love it, too. Like, if you're on a body of water that's like a serious, like a solid walleye fishery, man, everybody knows those walleyes come up. And you're 100% right, and Flander, Tyler was spot on about bigger profile, slower speed, though.
Yeah.
You know, make it...
Slow roll a 10, you know?
That's about the only time I will use 10s anymore.
I don't throw 10s.
You know, I'll do that at night, like, you know, out on a reef or something like that. Talking about my articles again, blah, blah, blah. But I did a article on the app called Nighttime is the Right Time. And I got some cool tricks in there. You guys that listen to the podcast all the time have heard me talk about using glow sticks on my marker buoys, the old school throwable marker buoys. I'll throw those out on either end of my weed beds just so I'm not sitting there looking at my freaking fish finder the whole time. Because I hate that, like, if I'm staring at a bright fish finder and you're looking back and forth, opposed to if you mark, like, the structure or the weed bed or whatever you're going to fish with those marker buoys with a glow stick on them, you have a visual reference of where you're at and what you should be doing. That's, like, my favorite thing, my trick there. But anywho, next is Kevin from Green Bay. He says, how should a muskie angler deal with the recent water temps? Hard pressed in Wisconsin, find water temps under 80 degrees. Pretty much we were just talking about this. This is 2020 sucks. Can we all just admit that?
It's a garbage year. Just throw it out.
Trash. Never happened.
Forget about it.
It's one of these years that, like, we're going to look back and everybody's just going to fondly remember that it's gone. You know,
I'm just gonna be glad it's over.
It's like, you know, it's we're collectively as a society just not going to talk about it. It's like Voldemort from Harry Potter. It's the year that it's the name that cannot be said. We're just not going to talk about 2020. We're just going to skip over it. But here's my thing: like, if you want to get out and you want to fish, and you're trying to find cooler water temperatures. I don't know every lake in Wisconsin. Tyler, you don't know every lake in Wisconsin.
No.
I know that clear bodies of water will stay cooler than tannic. Okay. It's not holding the heat, so that's a consideration. Going north as north can go, but I know, like, the north woods of Wisconsin are screwed up right now. So
pretty bad.
Man, I don't know. How far is the UP? What have you? Are you hearing any reports out of the UP, Tyler?
None. I haven't heard anything.
If any of you Upers are out there listening, if you've got the podcast and you're a Uper, let us know. I'd love to hear, you know, if the temps are reasonable up there. You're just gonna have to travel. For right now, as of this week. I mean, everything's sort of screwy. I mean, you might stay at home and play ping pong. That might be the best idea. Sharpen your hooks. I don't know. But
Shotgun and Pepsis.
That's what we're doing. Just trying to take that liver out in one foul swoop. I would, you know, if you're hard pressed and you want to go fish, you're going to have to dig around, you know, and move and groove, but I've not heard, like, hey, there's this magical area where things are still cool. So just check things out. Next up is Jimmy. He said, I've been fishing my lake for muskies for 2 years now. Every full moon, new moon, moonrise and moonset, sunrise and sunset, well over the 10,000 casts, and I haven't even gotten a follow. I've been doing something wrong to not, he said, obviously I've been doing something wrong to not even receive a follow. I fish breaks with rubbers and cranks, weed beds with top raiders and other top waters, underwater points with bucktails, dive and rise, shallow cranks, weed edges. Every lure I have, I've tried very few rocks on my lakes. It doesn't have a lot of rocks, but I fish shallow, I fish deep. I'm going to paraphrase here in a question. He said, over a 2 year span, he said, I've started fishing really slow and finesse with walk the dogs and little jerks because nothing else seems to work. I don't get what's going wrong for me. He said, I need you guys to help me out here. I'm struggling, blah, 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 blah. But basically, this guy is fishing a lake. I'm not going to say the name of the lake because it's a well-known musky lake in Wisconsin that has a bunch of fish in it.
Okay.
And so, Tyler, what's your take? If it, you know, what's your thought immediately? We're going, and this lake is if I say, I'm not going to say it on air, but the name, I tell you this, like, you know it, and you go, there's a ton of fish in there. So What are some things you think that, like, off the rip, what could be going wrong if we're not even getting a follow on a high population density lake?
Is this lake a high pressure lake?
No.
No.
Not really. Not terribly. It's yeah.
That's a tough one.
Where my guide brain goes, right? Where my guide brain goes on this is there's probably in the presentations, right?
Technique.
Because, you know, and it's not a knock. It's not a positive or a negative. I do this crap nonstop for years. I will ask a guy like, hey, you know, what baits are you good at? That's one of the first things. I never ask people. They come on the boat. I don't care how big of a muskie you've caught. I don't care if you haven't caught one. I go, what baits do you like to throw? What baits are you good at? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody will say bucktails, or I like rubber, or I like this or that. Nobody ever says dive and rise, you know. Everybody always goes, is there a topwater bite? But, you know, and I'll ask them. And they'll say, I'm good with it. And I'll give them a bucktail. And I will see the what they consider to be good with a bucktail is for about 20 or 30 minutes before I make a comment, right? Mm-hmm. I've let them get the nerves out. I've let them make a bunch of casts. They're past caring. Because everybody, when you step on a boat with a stranger, whether it be a guide or a new fishing buddy, there's some nerves and jitters. I give them long enough that I think they're in their natural rhythm. And then I critique, and a lot of times there are some things going on that aren't great, right? Jimmy, if I were you and I was on the lake that you're on that I know has fish in it, I would start again, okay? So if you've not gotten a follow in a two-year span of time, what you're doing is wrong, okay? And I'm not being mean. We're never mean on the podcast. The whole Muskie 360 app is about being positive. But sometimes we got to reset ourselves. And I have to do this as a guy. There's sometimes where I'm just flat wrong. You need to just go, I am wrong. You've thrown yourself at the altar of the podcast, and we appreciate that and respect that. So that is a time we're going to reset. It is a hard reset. We're pushing reset on the Nintendo. We're starting at the beginning of the game again. Boom. What I want you to do is this, is I want you to start with a bucktail, a single-bladed bucktail, whether it be a giant killer, whether it be a 500 or 700 series Booker tail, whether it be a single-bladed Meps Flashaboo, a single-bladed Marabou, I don't care if it's a Chaos, Assault, whatever. Get you a single-bladed bucktail that has a silver blade and a black skirt. That's it. And that's what you're going to fish until you get your first follow. That's the only bait you're going to throw. Okay? And a lot of people are going, well, he should probably throw a lot of stuff. We're starting at ground zero here. And what you got to focus on for that bucktail is when you throw it out, when it hits the water, you start reeling in a controlled fashion, and you don't let the handle stop. You don't scratch your nose. You don't get herky-jerky. You reel it in nice and smooth. Right? You're going to throw that thing and you're going to reel it in nice and smooth. And when it gets to the rod tip, you're going to execute a figure eight. There's a lot of good stuff on the app, a lot of good videos. You can watch guys that are awesome at figure eights do it. I love referencing Doug Wagner. Doug is a really good figure eighter. Booker's a really good figure eighter. Me and the guru ain't too shabby, but you know, check it out and watch and look at the body mechanics. Okay. You're going to fish a black bucktail with a silver blade, and you're going to throw that thing until you get your first follow or catch your first fish. There's not a body of water on planet Earth that has muskies in it that a black and silver bucktail won't work.
It works everywhere.
Here's the deal. Somebody can email me and say it won't work on your lake, I will make you a bet and I will come there. We will bet cash money. If you throw it long enough, it'll work.
Absolutely.
But what I would do, Jimmy, is start there. Take it to the bare basics, okay? And, you know, on the lake that you're on, fish the weed edges. There will be a 28-inch to a 40-inch muskie on weed edges. So you're going to start with a bucktail on weed edges, and your focus is smooth, clean reeling of that thing in. Don't worry about burning it. Don't worry about slow rolling. I want a medium-paced retrieve. And that to me, that's like a single-blade bucktail at medium pace. If that won't produce a follow, I don't know what will.
It has to.
The other thing you need to do is make sure you got good polarized glasses on. You know all this. I know I'm preaching the choir, but we're starting at ground zero. So get to that point. Take it to bare-bone basics. Don't burn it. Don't slow row it. Just a medium retrieve with that single blade of bucktail, throwing it at weeds. If you're putting in the time and you're paying attention, something will happen. Now, you know, we can go from there. You can email us back. We can build from that. But if you've got 2 years in without a follow on that lake, it is just take it down to brass tacks. And I promise you that will produce. I'd love, like I said, follow up with us. Let us know if you want to. Heck, I'll talk to you directly on the phone. I'll help anybody the best that I can. But that's where I'm at, because it sounds like you're thinking. And this goes for everybody. I don't care if you're a pro or if this is your first week of musky fishing. You know, we all get frustrated and we all get befuddled and we all will try everything. And what will happen is when you have too many options between options in structure and cover and options between lure presentation, and we have an option whether we do that fast or slow, when you get so many options going, you can really put yourself in a bad position all the time.
You get overwhelmed. You don't know where to start.
Yeah, exactly. So try that, Jimmy. Sorry, folks, for hammering on that so long, but everybody send some good mojo and love Jimmy's way. Thoughts and prayers that Jimmy gets the thing worked out, and I'd love to hear back from you on that. Next episode,
we're pulling for you, buddy.
Absolutely. And like I said, man, you know, don't get rid of those other lures, but take her down to brass tacks and things will happen for you. Garrett says, listen to the podcast every week and love it. Don't really have a question. I'm just missing Canada. You guys have any crazy stories from the Great North? Tyler, you got any crazy Great North stories, my friend?
I already told the one where I got stuck. I figurated a mosky, hooked it, and then stepped down. I don't think I was wearing any shoes, and I stepped down on a hook and landed a musky with a musky bait in my foot.
Oh, that's exciting. That's painful.
I think I told that one already.
I'm trying to think.
I got to jog my memory here.
There's a lot of them we can't tell on the podcast. That's no. The problem. That's why I deferred to you and said, hey, Tyler, because there's a lot of them. We're going to you've probably seen a lot of the fish we caught. We're going to have to kindly acquiesce out of that question to keep ourselves out of trouble is what we're going to have to do there, because the crazy stories we have from the Great North are usually ones that would get us in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I saw someone once sink their car at a boat launch. That was pretty crazy.
Oh, dude, you say that, though. I showed you the picture. This is not even about up north. Is it Memorial Day that just happened? Yeah. I had a woman, this guy was yelling at his wife, like, get the trailer on the boat or the boat on the trailer. You know, if you've launched a boat, you've seen that guy that's like screaming at his wife like a total dick. You know, like the wife doesn't even want to drive the boat. And dude, that's another thing. We could do a whole podcast on don't make your wife back your truck in, or don't make her drive the boat on the trailer.
Do it yourself. It's easy to do it.
If you want to have a big fight, that's the best way to do it. If she's cool with it, cool. But if somebody's like nervous, that's the thing. It's like, man, I see people do that with their kids and stuff. Like if somebody's nervous about doing either of those tasks, don't make them do it, because I've never seen bigger fights. But this guy's like, get it on the trailer, you bitch. You know, just being a like total jerk. And I think he had her freaked out, and she was nervous, and hammered it and jumped the trailer.
Oh, gosh.
That's that picture of where, like, literally I'm putting mine on the trailer, and a boat comes past the nose of my car and landed on the ramp. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was like something out of Miami Vice. So there's a lot of alcohol involved in them doing that, but we were literally sitting there. We waited for a flatbed truck, so they could bring a wrecker down there and hook a chain to the nose of the boat and drag it up the rest of the ramp onto a flatbed wrecker. It was amazing. So not a lot of boat left after that. All right. Next one up is from Bob. Bob says, I've been fishing mid-sized lakes in Twin Cities of Minnesota, and the daytime surface temperatures are now above 80. So I'm taking a break from daytime fishing for the sake of the fish. Is night fishing safer for the fish? He says the Bible, and when he's referring to Crankbait Secrets, he says the Bible says to target weedy mid-lake structures at night, but is there also an open water bite? So two-part questions. Fishing above 80 and fishing at night, is it safer for the fish? I don't know. I have no clue. I don't know.
We have no idea.
Like, I don't think if it was like 80 at sundown and it's 79 after sundown, I don't know if like there's this magic like, oh, everything's better now, guys.
Like, no, I don't know what. I don't even know how. I don't know.
Nobody knows. And like I said, hopefully we'll have a biologist on here that can really go, okay, 1 + 1 = mc³.
Yeah.
It's science, you see. So I don't know. And I don't think anybody really knows. It's all anecdotal conjecture at this point. We've been told for years 80 is the magic number. 80 is a bad thing. So if I don't think like a muskie's ever been caught and he looked at the depth finder and said, it's 79.9. I'm fine, guys.
No, that's true.
So it's obviously like, and what it is, and I think the reason 80 is a, you know, and I've heard you hear just like conflicting everything, but I don't think that if it's 80 at night versus 80 during the day or whatever it is, I don't think it makes a hill of beans. And like I said, hopefully we'll get a straight scientific answer on that. You know, if it's 80 during the midday and it's like the daytime high is 80 and then it drops into the 76, 77, sure, man. I've never hesitated at 77. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never, and I don't know, and I'm just being honest, like, I've done this for years and I've never like, and that's why we're trying to get like to the nitty gritty with a scientist. I've heard all this stuff and I've never questioned it. Right. I've never like questioned the details of it. And I'm not saying question any of this to dispel it. I don't want like if a biologist told me, hey, they're absolutely fine at 80 degrees, I still probably wouldn't do it.
No, neither would I.
I've seen too many fish that swim off that they you know, as them we joke around, the hillbilly bulls go, they swam off good. You know, I mean, to me, if it's 80 degrees outside, like if the water temp's 80 degrees, that means it's hotter than hell out. I probably don't want to be there anyway. But, you know, I have seen firsthand. Okay, a fish in 76 degree water temp definitely boogies out of there pretty good. So I don't know, and it's all dependent on the fight and stuff. But we don't. We need data, or not even data. We need like empirical evidence, empirical science, where you go, this is a fact. This is 1 + 1 = 2. This is why. This is how it biologically affects this creature in this environment. Blah, 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 blah. So we will try to, as quickly as possible, get down to why 80 is the magic number. You know, is that fact or fiction? You know, a biologist might say, hey, you know, it's dangerous above 71.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've just always heard 80, and it's sort of like that indoctrination. You don't question it. You know, it's like the sky is blue, and it's blue, and it's always been blue, and it's going to continue to be blue. My entire life as a muskie angler has been 80 degrees is bad. That's it.
Me too.
You know, and you figure it out from there, and we'll go from there and try to get you guys some answers. Cause I'm really, not to get back on this harping subject, but I'm really interested to hear like the details. I'm sure you are too, Tyler. Like, what?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I mean, I'm a scientist in training. I love science.
And to understand, you know, what's going on there. And that article I was talking about, this heat, I actually learned a little science. Little science stuff.
Oh, I am science. She blinded me with science. Yes.
Anyway, it was talking about the buildup of potassium in the plasma of a muskie when they're being caught, and they were talking about like in warmer temps that there's a big potassium spike that could theoretically lead to basically heart failure in a muskie. So we're really going to try to delve into this, like I said, for everybody's benefit, because I'm sitting here going, heart attack, what? You know, Marsky heart attack. Yes, he's been eating too many brats. that fish had a face full of brats. But you know, we'll try to dig in on this and figure it out. Jonathan is up next, and he says, "I'm from Chicago and only get up to the North Woods Minocqua area once a year on family vacation. Going to be fishing a smaller week the last week of July with Stain Water. I have a $50 Muskie Shop gift card burning a hole in my pocket. Wanted to know what 3 to 4 lures would be best to add to my box. Looking to add a shallow rater, depth rater. My box is primarily limited to bucktails and surface lures at this time. Love the podcat." I appreciate that. That's the inside joke. It is the Muskie 360 podcat. Anyway, and he wants some advice, so I'm going to go over to muskyshop.com. Shameless plug.
He said he already has
he's got bucktails.
Okay.
Going to the bargain zone.
Muskie Mecca,
yes. Okay, so we're going to do this one of two ways. Let's say he's only got the $50. That'll be exciting. What can we get for... I like shopping on other people's money. So let's see. What can we get for under? Ooh, here's one, Tyler.
Oh.
The Savage, the Savage Gear 3D Bat. Get you one of them, boys. Get you that 3D bat. And you know how, Tyler, we don't need a scientist to tell us this.
Huh.
You know muskies love bats, right? They can't stop eating them.
They jump out of the water. You know, I actually saw a muskie flying.
To get a bat. I was with you, as I remember.
That was really weird. He was in a little airplane there.
As I recall, it was a jetpack. But nonetheless, he was after that bat. Because I talked to a scientist. I found him on Craigslist. The scientist said that muskies live on a very, very stringent diet of bats. So that is just...
They all have rabies.
They all have scabies. Anyway, sorry... I'm sure the fine folks at Savage Gear are listening. What we got here? There's actually some cool stuff in the budget thing. So let's pretend that we only have $50, right? Tyler, do you have a? Mm-hmm. You're a smart boy. Keep track here. Do you have your cal? Can you pull your calculator up? What can we get for $50?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Looking here, Wendell's Musky Snacks. Good little crank. How big is that, boy? 7-inch. So we can get a 7-inch shallow Wendell's Muskie snack for $7.99. I'm going to get one of those. All right. So we got $7.99. What else we got here? The Headbangers. I'm not a big fan of the Headbangers. We got some Tail Proper Savage Gear that look like fish. Okay, these actually look like things that a muskie might eat, opposed to a bat. there's some of those. So we got $7.99. There's the Headbanger. That's actually really... Okay, there's... Okay, for anybody that's going, why are they doing this? I just found something that I'm about to buy. 10-inch Phantoms are on sale for $29.99. Save some bucks there. 10-inch Phantoms are rad. But okay, so he wants that. What's a shallow rater run right now? He wanted a shallow rater. Let's spend this guy's $50. What do we get?
We're going to spend all your money.
And we're going to spend your money, yes. Welcome to America, yes. I like the fish, yes. I'm scrolling through here, yes. What do we have, yes? We fish musky, yes. We catch the fish. All right, we got them right here. Straight shallow rater. If I'm only going to buy one, I'm going to buy the 5-inch because the 5-inch is the best. Okay. $17.99, Tyler. Throw her in there. All right. So you can get your shallow rater. You can get the other one out of that Wunderbar discount section. What else was he thinking about here while we're spending other people's money? Shower depth rater. So we don't need any of that. That'll do it, boys. Spend the rest on a t-shirt. I don't know. What do you think, Tyler? If you're just getting in the cranks, we should probably, what do you think, a rattle trap?
Absolutely. Like it's a rattle trap, JB Rattler, you want that. Baby Def Raider.
Yeah.
Join it Def Raiders.
With
any Def Raider.
With $50, he should get a DR in there, but that's gonna eat up some moonies here. But
that's
I will quickly get through this. And okay, throw $17.99 on there. How much are we at, Tyler?
Did you want the Phantom in there or the
no
the first
no
one?
No just
no
just,
Phantom
no Phantom just the Shallow Raider, a Depth Raider, and that Weston or whatever the heck was on sale.
How much was the Depth Raider?
$17.99.
I just got $417. That is wrong.
That is wrong. See, we're geniuses, folks. We're geniuses. $17.99 plus $17.99 plus $7.99 is.
I'm at like $440.
$40. Okay. What can we sneak in here? Let's find. I need to have an idea here. Listen, you might run over. I'll tell you this. If you run over, tell Jay to call me. I'll take care of the extra $4 for you here if you want these boots. Yes. Where's the freaking... What's the... All right. You can get a Rappler Radlin Wrap for $4.99. Boom. There you go. Now you got the baits you wanted. You got the couple things you needed. You got four baits for under $50. They're all killers. The Rappler Rattlin' Wrap is cool. It's a great little small rattle trap. It's $4.99. You got money left for a soda after that. You know?
Yep.
There you go. Moving on to Andy. Andy says, any recommendation online? I see a lot of options on the Musky Shop. Currently using 80-pound Power Pro, but looking for advice. Thanks, and slow down on those Pepsis. Don't need no diabetes. All right, thank you, Andy, for the public service announcement there. We will definitely not slow down on the Pepsis. My thing online is this. I'll sound like a broken record here. I definitely am a B-Sprayed guy. That is the shameless Joe Booker plug. I will tell you right now, I wouldn't throw it if I didn't think it kicked ass. I don't throw any other line other than B-Sprayed, and I throw Suffix 832 for a lot of years. My thing is this, with Power Pro, I had, and like, if somebody walks on my boat and they're like, hey, I want to bring my own reel, right? If you come on my boat and you have Power Pro on, I don't want you throwing my lures. I'm not knocking it. Shimano makes good products. I think Shimano owns them. I have just witnessed more just straight, like the reel seizes or something like that, and lures just go flying. It wasn't that way for years, though. Power Pro was the only game in town, you know, but you know, that's my personal experience. It is what it is. I'm not a big Power Pro user right now. I was in the past. I like the B-Sprayed. I like Suffix 832. I got no problem with that line. A lot of places, that's the easiest line to get. Blah, 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 blah. I don't like Cortland Master Braid because it seems to soak up water, and it screws me up when I'm trolling because my line's getting heavier and it's sort of absorbing throughout the day. So that's my take on line. Tyler, I know you're a B-Sprayed guy.
Hardcore B-Sprayed guy.
Hardcore. He's like the super fan. He's that guy in the NFL stadium that's dressing up.
I make all my clothes out of B-Sprayed.
That is a very uncomfortable outfit, I'm sure. That'd be pretty scratchy. Do you know the one thing I say about this, and this is, if you haven't tried it and you're sitting there going, these guys are just so full of bullshit, and they're only saying B-Sprayed because they fish with Joe, and it's like, okay, whatever, sucker. Try it.
You're going to lose. I've never lost. I had a line break on B-Sprayed. Uh-huh. I've had a lot of them on Power Pro.
Well, and that's the thing. I'll rep Suffix, too. I've not had any issues with Suffix. I like B-Sprayed. The only reason, the thing with the B-Sprayed that I like is the actual feel of the line is a little tougher feeling. It does.
Yeah.
Suffix is a soft laying line, which is great, bee spray just, I don't worry about abrasion as much with bee spray. Maybe I should. I don't know. Those are the two that I'll fish with either of those. You know, other than that, I don't like, the one thing I'll tell anybody is this. Don't like get that budget shit. I've seen some of this stuff where it's like $8 for an 80-pound braid. You know, it's just like,
kiss that lure goodbye.
Kiss that. You're going to spend $8, and what you saved on your line, you just lost in lures. You just nailed it, because that's totally the deal there is. Excuse me, there's a couple brands, and I'm not going to name names and crap on any other line brands here, but there's a couple brands where I'm like, yeah. I've just seen like a ton of breakoffs, and you're just go. So don't go super budget. Musky Shop's got some killer line available there. And the thing is this, is just get a line and stick with it too. Once you're into it, I think everybody sort of falls in their own factions. I don't know, a lot of guys are like, hey, I'm going to just arbitrarily jump from this brand to that brand based on price or anything. I don't know. Do you do that, or am I crazy? Do people
absolutely
do that?
Absolutely not. I like high quality stuff, because I fish a lot, so I'm not cheaping out on anything.
Speaking of cheaping out, because I am cheap as hell, by the way, boys and girls.
Oh, I know.
He's the cheapest man on earth. A little trick for you guys, if you want to make the most out of your line, because line is getting ridiculously expensive, is if it's starting to look bad and frayed and crappy, take another reel or even a spinning reel or whatever, hell, run around a stick and take your line off your reel and then reverse it. Mm-hmm. And so you can fish with that fresh end of your line. You know, rarely are we getting down to the backing. If a muskie takes you down to the backing, you've got problems anyway, you know, and it's not, you know, as long as that line's not tattered and torn and horrible, just reverse your line. And for a lot of guys, you're going to get two seasons out of one spool worth of line. You're going to, yep. You know, you can get two seasons out of that, flip that thing around. You got fresh line to start the next year with, and you're good. I will get off that topic, but that's my little trick there. There's another question. I deleted it, by the way, Tyler, because I'm a moron.
Okay.
Somebody asked, and I feel bad, I deleted your question, but they wanted to know what our take was on trolling motor batteries. Okay. Trolling motor batteries. And so, just to be pragmatic as possible, I don't know what you run in your boat. I never really ask anybody that, but I'll tell you what I do. I run, mine's 24-volt system. I run two Walmart specials. I actually run the, like, hold on. I'll actually look, because let's see. Do you know what you're running yours, Tyler?
I have a 24-volt system, and I have one thing I pay attention to is with any battery system is that you want a really high reserve capacity. There's a little white sticker on the batteries that has all this information. It's confusing. It's awful. I would recommend you look up reserve capacity. I have mine. I actually designed mine. I calculated mine. I have two. I think both of my batteries are like, I have 180 is like the reserve capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of math involved and blah, 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 blah. But you want a high enough reserve capacity where it can last you all day. Mine's rigged out for I could go for like a day and a half to 2 days mm-hmm. without charging them.
Basically it's the amp hours on a deep cycle battery. It's how, what you end up with, little science there.
Science.
You have basically, like Tyler said, the reverse capacity, and that is at how many amp hours over an amount of time. Okay.
Yep.
So let's hear. I'm on the wonderful website, walmart.com, where you can get everything you ever wanted from China. Now that they've put every mom and pop business out of business, here we are. Like this is a group size 24. It is not showing me in L pictures. Okay. The amp hours. I'm trying to zoom in. That says like 135 is a reserve there. So you can sort of, like Tyler said, check the stickers on this. It's not really not giving me the info, so I can't walk you through on that, but you can calculate, dig in. The internet's got a lot of good stuff. If you really have to calculate, here's my rule of thumb. Get the biggest batteries you can afford.
Yep.
Period. So Like, if you look at, I think these are the big boys here, are the Group 27. Wow, it's the battery podcast. But this is important shit, because you're like, you rig your boat, and if you got no power, it sucks. So yeah. I think these are actually what I run. I might be wrong. But it's a Group 27, so the physically bigger a battery is, right? Mm-hmm. Usually the more power it has, until we get into like glass mat batteries and weird stuff. But that's always the biggest thing, is like, sometimes, and dude, you know this, the price difference on a trolling motor battery, like for the next step up, will be like $10, but for $10 you're getting like 5 more hours out of it sometimes. It's absolutely, like, it's dramatic. Yeah. And so, you know, on my boat, I'm always worried about weight and all that stuff. When it comes to your batteries, just load it up. Get the biggest you can afford. Now, here's what I do. I'll tell you flat. This will probably get me banned from Walmart. They make a battery at Walmart, or you can probably find this about anywhere. It's like the EverStart Max Start, I believe, where it's got a 2-year warranty on it, right? And so If that battery goes bad, you take it into Wally World, and they'll give you a new one off the rack right there, okay? You got 2 years for that thing to go bad. You know, I'm not telling you what to do, but it can be pretty good. You can chuck that thing off a roof and go get you a new battery, if you know what I mean. So that's my recommendation. You know, I bought 2 batteries 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I'm still rocking new batteries. Especially if you use them really heavy. That's my thing. I know a lot of guys will say go with those premium batteries. I'm a cheap ass. Spending like $400 on a deep cycle battery sounds like getting a colonoscopy. I would really rather go buy a new headlock than buy a $400 battery. And, you know,
I would never spend that on a battery.
And bro, here's the thing, man. I do this, like, I guide for a living. I'm not doing it on the weekends, and the cheap ass Walmart batteries are like doing pretty good. You know, I know there's like all these expensive batteries, but again, you know, I'm sure somebody that's like listening, that's like a battery scientist, goes, oh, pardon me, he's dumb, but I'm rocking 12-hour days on some $100 Walmart batteries, and when they go bad, I go annoy the girl at the register and say, I need new batteries, and I don't pay for new batteries. You know, you get 2 sets if they go bad. So if you fish a lot, that's my thing. The other argument is buy $900 worth of 2 trolling motor batteries. That's up to you. I don't know. So anyway, man, we're off on the battery tangent. We're just your personal shoppers now, Tyler. What do you think? That's our new thing here.
Just going to shop for you. You know what? You give us your credit card, information.
Right. Send us your.
We will buy baits for you as a fee. We'll also buy baits for ourselves.
We need, what is it? All the digits off your credit card number, your full name. We need the CCV code off the back. That's all you got to email us. If you send us that info, we promise we will buy baits. just send that right over. Oh, goodness. Yeah, don't do that. How about don't? Let big disclaimer there. Don't do that. Anyway, Tyler.
Yep.
I'm tired. I'm about wackadoodled here. We're going to wrap it up next week. Hopefully, we got a scientist on here.
Science.
But anyway, we're wrapping up as the end of another Muskie 360 podcast. Thank you guys for listening. You're the best. Catch you next week.
The Muskie 360 podcast is brought to you by Yeti, built for the wild, Evinrude E-Tech Outboards, Joe Bucher Outdoors, the number one name in big fish products, and the Muskie Shop.